This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. We'll talk about, well, remember that discussion about Democrats handing Treasury money over to their friends? Great example, courtesy of Chuck Schumer. Problems at the DNC. Fast food giants have secret menus. Sorry, it's going to have to be discussed. All that, emails, and so much more on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I'm sorry, I said secret menus, secret weapons on their menus. We'll do a real analysis of this whole thing in depth, in a way that only we can. But as we've discussed many times before on the show, there are different ways to look at government power, political power. And I think at least you would hope that you would handle it well. If I could hand you the job of U.S. senator, of a mayor of your town, president, whatever it is, you would do some good with it, right? Or at least you would try to. You would try to help your town, help your country, to try to serve people in some way. But we always have to keep in mind the different value systems people have. And communists don't think like that. Helping people, serving people, helping the country. It's always something they know they have to give lip service to, but they are there to do only two things. The communist does two things with power and only two things. He enriches himself and his allies, and he punishes his enemies. That's what he believes. And by the way, if you could sit them down and hook them up to a lie detector test, they would admit that to you. In fact, they would flat out tell you, well, why else would I take power? That's what you're supposed to do with it. This all comes back to how they look at humans and humanity, remember? Really, everything comes back to that. You would want to serve your fellow countrymen or the people in your town because you have a heart for them. Even if you don't know them all personally, you want people's lives to be better. Better fed, better house, better this, better schools, better. You want people's lives to be better. But the communist doesn't think about that because he hates people. He is at his core an anti-human. He is enemies of humanity, is what Solzhenitsyn described them as. He doesn't care about people, so you never think about that. Therefore, whenever you elect a Democrat at any level, this applies to local, it applies to state, it applies to national. They are interested in the treasury. They will use that treasury to enrich their friends and family members. That's why Joe Biden's family had approximately 8,000 LLCs. They'll use that treasury. They'll use your money to enrich themselves and their friends and their allies. And they'll use your money to go after you, to punish your enemies. This is courtesy of Free Beacon. Schumer, that would be Democrat, Chuck Schumer, requests $600,000 in taxpayer funds for a left-wing group accused of training illegal immigrants to avoid ICE. The group, by the way, is called the Chinese American Planning Council. It's under congressional investigation as we speak. That's how bad this group is. And obviously, being accused of training illegals to avoid deportation is kind of a big deal. But you see, Chuck Schumer, he doesn't get elected and think about serving New York or serving the country. He gets elected because being a United States senator gives him the keys to the public treasury. He's going to walk down to that bank vault. He is going to open up the door, and he's going to grab as much of that money as he possibly can to hand it out to all of his friends. That's what the communist believes he needs to do with power, and it's what they've done time and time and time again. They have always operated in that way, and they always will operate in that way. And if you vote for Democrats, you vote for more of that. I don't care what other lies you believe, and I'm not here to tell you that Republicans are wonderful. That is not my job at all, and frankly, I don't believe it. But if you vote a Democrat, vote for Democrats. That's what they believe at every level. Jesse, aren't women athletes trying to have it both ways? This is from a woman, by the way. They don't want men to play in their sport because men are better, but they want to be paid as much as the male athletes are paid. If they want to be paid like men, it seems to me they should let men play in the sport. Make up your minds. God bless you and your family. She didn't say I could say her name, so I will not. Well, I don't know that we need to all encompass the women, because there are all kinds of female athletes out there, young ladies listening to the sound of my voice right now, who bust their butt at their sport, try to be good at it, learn valuable lessons of teamwork, staying in shape, and things like that. Oh, just got something caught in my throat. Oh, man, I feel like Kamala. Anyway, there are all kinds of young women like that who don't think they should be paid like men should be paid. They don't feel entitled to be televised as much. But if we have to address those that do, this would be, you know, the WNBA players who are threatening to go on strike because they don't make as much as the NBA players. Well, anybody with an ounce of sense would look at it and say, well, the NBA makes money. The WNBA doesn't make any money. It only exists on money donated to it from the NBA. It's a charity. As I've said, the WNBA is a charity for lesbians. So how could a charity, how could the women there think they should make as much money? A lot of it's just entitlement. Standard left-wing sense of entitlement that I deserve this, I deserve that. But believe it or not, some of it comes back to the fact we don't teach the basics of economics and running a business. And a lot of people, I know it sounds like a simple point to someone who knows, a lot of people don't understand that you get paid based on the value you bring to your employer. Chris said, how do they not get that? Buddy, they don't teach it in school. You get paid not based on what you deserve. And look, I'm here to tell you, I'm sorry. You don't get paid on how hard you work. There are all kinds of jobs. If you go, I washed dishes for a living once. It was the first official job I ever had. I washed dishes in the back of this restaurant. It's gone now. It was in Bozeman, Montana. The restaurant was called the Apple Tree. It was not Applebee's. It was called the Apple Tree. Just a standard Applebee's, Chili's type restaurant, pancakes and cheeseburgers, that kind of thing. And I washed dishes there. That is one of the hardest jobs I've ever had in my life. The steam, your feet were soaking wet all day long. You were standing all day long in the steam and hot dishes. Remember, I worked construction most of my life. I'm telling you right now, physically, that particular dishwashing job is one of the hardest jobs I've ever had in my entire life. I never made less money. Why? Well, how easy is it to replace me? There are a lot of 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, illegals, whoever, who will go wash dishes for, I think it was $5 an hour or something like that back then. I didn't bring real value to the Apple Tree restaurant. If I showed up at work the next day or never showed up again at all, they wouldn't lose a dime. The manager, the owner, They knew that I didn't bring anything of value to them. Therefore, I was paid like somebody who didn't bring anything significant of value. You get paid on the scarcity of your marketable skills. Remember that now and always. The scarcity of your marketable skills will determine how you get paid. It's not your talent. It's not your hard work. It's not that. How valuable are you? Why does the starting quarterback make $40 million a year? He doesn't deserve that. He plays a game for a living. How many people can do what he does? Is it marketable? It's unbelievably marketable. Have you looked at the NFL ratings? Is it rare? Well, how many people can go out and throw for four touchdowns against an NFL defense? Not very many. Therefore, because he has marketable skills that are rare, he's going to make $40 million a year while the rest of us make minimum wage. You get paid on the scarcity of your marketable skills. But nobody teaches young people that. They're taught that I deserve it, or as long as you work hard. Now, granted, working hard can make you more valuable. Of course it can. It will make you more valuable, but you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying loaf, but that's what determines your pay. If we want more people to understand how this works, they could simply go take some free courses from Hillsdale. Hillsdale has more than 40 courses for free, including understanding capitalism. And given the lack of economic knowledge in this country, maybe everybody should take that course. And you can tell everybody to take that course. And you can watch that course with your friends, with your children, at no cost. Go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse. And you know what? After you enroll, remember, there's no cost. No cost. I want you to look around. It's more than just capitalism or the stories of the book of Genesis or Athens and Sparta. Are you interested in that Greek stuff we touched on last week? More than 40 courses. Whatever piques your interest. Maybe it is math. Maybe it is ancient history, American history. Whatever it is, they'll teach you for free. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, you can email the show. Love, hate, death, threats. Email that into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So one final word for tonight on Democrats, communists getting elected and figuring out a way to give their allies access to the Treasury. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, well, he's the filthy communist they elected. And if you remember, we've discussed this before, they decided to get rid of Lori Lightfoot, but in some sort of a suicide pact, they voted for the admitted socialist next. And it was the black parts of Chicago that voted for him. They studied the areas. He got all the black vote in Chicago because he's black. Well, again, what do communists do when they get power? This is what they do.
Our way will bring to black residents in reclaiming ownership of our own communities. That is the spirit of Juneteenth, you all. It is about reflecting on our past. Other cultures are taught to never forget. We need to be reminded as blacks here in Chicago and America, remembering our past and working towards a more just future, investing in black is not a criminal act.
Yeah, we got it. That was Brandon Johnson announcing reparations just for the black people in Chicago. What do communists do when they get elected with the public treasury? Yeah. And let's move on. I'm going to do some emails. I'm going to first address this because it's really important and it's been on my mind a lot. So we need to knock this out before we get to the less serious stuff. You remember a while ago, I told you that something wonderful had happened in the country. And I encouraged you to go get some of it. Remember what I said? That Taco Bell brought back The chicken Mexi melt. Chris? Don't shake your head. The chicken Mexi melt at Taco Bell is one of the great items ever. And I told you when it came back, I told you to go get it. And then it was only on the menu for a couple weeks and it's gone. It's gone again right now. Devastating everybody. And this appears to be a pattern with these big fast food companies. I am considering starting some sort of a consulting business so they can come get with me, the menu whisperer, and find out what works and what doesn't work. And I read this article, and I couldn't be more outraged at some of these things. The headline of the article is, this is from, what is this from? Lifestyle? Major fast food giants, oh, this is from Fox Business. Major fast food giants unveil secret weapons in summer menu battle. First on the list. Chick-fil-A, okay? Like it. I like Chick-fil-A. I like their breakfast, actually, more than their lunch. The spicy chicken biscuit, Chris, with the little cheese on it? Or wait, you people can't eat that. You don't even need the cheese. Spicy chicken biscuit? Excellent. So I'm a Chick-fil-A fan. The menu item they're bringing? The peach milkshake. That's garbage. That's complete garbage. That's a garbage item. You want to be truly special? A peanut butter milkshake. Everybody loves a peanut butter milkshake. Freaking peach milkshake. Oh, which brings me to Taco Bell. Taco Bell, which could bring back the chicken Mexi melt, but instead, chicken nuggets. Hey, Taco Bell, you know what nobody has ever said when they're craving Taco Bell? Ever? Nobody has ever once said, I could really go for some T-Bell chicken nuggets. If you're in the mood for nuggies, you're going to McDonald's. Or look, any one of a million different places have chicken nuggets. When you're going Taco Bell, you want some garbage fast food Mexican food. I want quesadillas. I want chalupas. I want the chicken Mexi melt. I've never gone to Taco Bell and ordered chicken nuggets. What kind of morons come up with this kind of a stuff? Sorry. I'm going to try not to get heated. McDonald's. I'll actually give this to McD's. This isn't bad. McCrispy strips. Chicken strips. Everybody loves chicken strips. Everybody. I'm a supporter. What? They're good, Chris. Wendy's. Wendy's did it right, too. Wendy's is expanding the Frosty menu. Wendy's Frosties are superior to all the dessert items at Dairy Queen. Most people don't know this. At Dairy Queen, you don't get the ice cream stuff, which is kind of garbage. You get a burger. You can get a burger at DQ. They do a decent fast food burger, Chris. They do. And remember, we talked about this. You can get the jalapeno strips on the burger. I think they're called Jaliscos or something like that. So Wendy's just increasing their ice cream dominance over DQ. Chipotle, nobody cares because Chipotle's garbage. I've had it like six times. Because all my friends eat it, and they always tell me how great it is. And so I'm always convinced that I've just ordered the wrong thing or something like that. Yeah, it's just rice, Chris. That's exactly right. Chipotle is filler. That's exactly what it is. It's a bunch of filler garbage, not high-quality stuff like T-Bell. Sonic, sweet lemonades, which is exactly what everybody was calling for. Another Sonic beverage that's 8,000 calories. Burger King, nobody cares about that because Burger King's horrible. Popeyes is maybe the one that bothers me the most because Popeyes offers now a pickle glazer chicken sandwich. Let me inform all of you chicken companies. I know you think people want a pickle. You think people want a pickle on the burger. You think people want a pickle on their chicken sandwich. Pickles are fine by themselves. I'm not anti-pickle, Chris. I've eaten a million pickles in my life. To this day, I would Kamala down a dill pickle in a heartbeat. I like pickles. Pickles dominate the flavor of a sandwich when you add pickles to it. Get your pickles and your tomatoes off of my burger. Let's do some emails next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Also, another reminder, this is not a war correspondent show. This is not a live breaking news show. I am not a journalist. So if you are tuning in to get all the latest updates on whatever pounding Israel is currently handing out to Iran, you have come to the wrong place. We will analyze what happens. We'll talk about it after the next day. I am aware that Donald Trump, an hour ago, put out a public statement saying people should evacuate Tehran. Probably not a great sign if you're sitting there in the Iranian government. So, look, I'm just not going to update the whole thing. Who knows where this whole thing's going to go. Anyway, Jesse, even a rice hater like you would dig these jalapeno cheddar rice crisps. Even if you have to dip them in your queso, they would get full approval from the wife. I don't eat rice crisps, okay? I don't eat rice crisps. That's the kind of disgusting garbage Ob eats. I'm a chip man, okay? I like chips. I don't want rice crisps. I don't want whatever bean chips you've come up with at all. I want real, actual chips. That is my desire. Real, actual chips. And don't email me telling me all the garbage that's in chips. I know there's garbage in chips. I have actually made an effort to find a healthier chip, believe it or not. No, Chris, Massa chips are good. Dude, they're really good. They're really good, but it's hard to find a healthy chip. You walk in a gas station, good luck finding a healthy chip. Jesse, this thing with Israel was great. If Trump was involved, I applaud him. So why would he cave into China and accept more students and spies? Okay, first, I don't like at all, as we discussed, the idea of accepting 500,000 Chinese students. And I don't like the idea. It's not because I have anything against Chinese students. It's because China uses these students to spy. They train these students. They are here to observe. They commit acts of espionage. And this is all stuff that is well known. This is anybody knows this stuff. Everyone knows this stuff. And Trump most definitely knows this stuff. In a vacuum, I don't like it. But as long as we're talking a little bit of Israel, Iran, and other stuff, let's discuss something we've talked about before. Foreign policy is complicated. Human beings want to simplify things. They want to distill things down to their simplest possible form because it makes it, one, easy to understand, and two, easy to pick a side. It's easy to pick a side. The Civil War is a great example of this, as a matter of fact. A great example, although they do this with every historical thing ever. The Civil War is just awful. It's unreal to think that that many Americans spent that much time killing each other. It's terrible. Absolutely awful. And there were horrible people, selfish, evil people on both sides, on both sides. And it was so complicated that you had the abolitionists, but the abolitionists, some wanted the South back, some didn't want the South back. Some, just so many angels and demons and so many different parts to it, from the North to the South to the motivations. The Civil War was long and horrible and complicated with different factions and different all over the map. But because we want to understand it more easily, and because oftentimes we want to, nobody wants to be seen as a slave lover, right? Because what's worse than slavery? All people are taught. To this day, they'll speak like this: North good, South bad. But what does that mean? The North was a gigantic place with all kinds of horrible people in it. The South was a gigantic place with all kinds of horrible and wonderful people in it. But everything has to be distilled down to its simplest terms for a lot of people. Foreign policy, this happens all the time. In foreign policy, let's take what you just brought up. You brought up Iran, Israel, China, and America. We'll just stick with that. Okay, so picture this. We have America. In fact, I just made a circle on a piece of paper. Are there factions in America that want different things? Radically different things? How many? There's a lot at work with just America, isn't there? You study politics every day. I study politics every day. We're always still sorting through and sorting out who belongs to what their... The Republican Party alone has how many different factions? That's just America. Okay, let's add in Israel. Totally separate country. Do you think they have different factions? They do. Lots of them. They have their own hawks, their own doves, their own Democrats, their own Republicans. Israel, different people, different motivations. If you just combined those two countries, that would be complicated. Foreign policy would be complicated. But wait, let's add in Iran. Iran, run by these evil mullahs, but Iran is full of people who want freedom, pro-Western people. Iran itself isn't a simple concept either. Iran, they also have relationships. Countries like Russia. Countries like China. China gets 20% of its oil from Iran. China is economically invested in Iran. What if, I'm not saying this happened, what if Trump cut a deal you don't like and I don't like? What if he cut a deal with China that they sit out the whole Iran-Israel thing? In exchange, they'll also buy oil from us, and we'll allow their student spies to stay here. Did it just become more complicated? Did it become more understandable? When people simplify foreign policy, they're either lying to themselves and or they're lying to you. Foreign policy has always been complicated. It is now. It was yesterday. It was 500 years ago, 2,000 years ago, and it will be complicated 2,000 years from now in the future. Different factions and different countries with different motivations, and then those countries have to work with other countries, but a lot of other countries, they have to figure out what their friends will accept, what their enemies will accept, that then he has to move this chess piece around and they have to move it. Foreign policy is complicated. And so you can't really have one blanket foreign policy. You can have concepts you generally agree with. I certainly do. Generally, as I've gotten older, I want America to stay out of other people's business. I believe America should stay out of other people's wars, other people's business. Generally, that's what I believe. But also, I'm not naive enough to think that that's how the world is going to operate, where the most powerful country on the planet can just remain neutral as its friends slash enemies, as they fight each other and they vie for more trade. It's complicated, and it always will be. Don't simplify foreign policy. You cannot simplify foreign policy. And because of that, It can be hard to work out negotiations and trade deal things. Trump agrees to let 500,000 Chinese students stay here. He announces in his speech, they're going to stay here. I love them. I winced. You probably winced too. Is there something bigger afoot? Maybe. Maybe not. Hey, maybe he just caved. I don't know. But it's complicated. All right? All right. Meatloaf. Next. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show, until, of course, we come back tomorrow. If you miss me while I'm gone, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Oh, speaking of China, from Just the News, Green Group, with ties to Chinese Communist Party, is part of a network influencing U.S. policy. This is another part of foreign policy, statecraft, if you will, that we didn't even really talk about when we were talking about how complicated it is. How many of the things that happen, how many of the things you see, how many of the things I see, how many of these are intelligence operations run by the various intel agencies, foreign and domestic? You know, we look at the local green protest. You know, the climate nutters or the street animals are super gluing themselves to Van Gogh paintings and things like that. And we think, hey, who's this crazy hippie? We think, hey, which George Soros-funded organization is paying this guy? We think, and look, all those things may be true. How often do we look at that protest and think, hey, that money came from the Chinese Communist Party to intentionally sow division and destroy the U.S. economy? We don't think like that, do we? Yet, every single study shows gobs of Chinese influence money flowing around America's political landscape. How often are we looking at something the Chinese Communist Party created intentionally? Again, complicated. And I want to follow up this point before we get to emails and some headlines I didn't get to and things like that. I want to follow up this point with this. One of the reason, another reason people simplify everything is people like to feel like they're listening to the truth. They've figured out what is true, who tells the truth, and who lies. And we want to be able to just go to a place, a website, a person, and trust that what we're hearing is true, what we're hearing is accurate. But here is the truth. Yes, the major media organizations are losing their power, and that's a good thing. We have social media. We have all these things. There are a million different places to get information from. It's good that it's stripping the power from media. But we, you and me, because of the era in which we live, we have to have more discernment than any group of people who has ever lived. We have to learn how to sift through the endless quantities of information that are coming at us from every possible way. From that, look, if I right now, Twitter is a good one. What's it called? X now. If I log on to X right now, I can scroll through. Well, actually, you know what? I'll do it. I'm right here on the air. I'm looking. Oh, look. Right away. Oh, how about that? Right away. There's somebody claiming the Pentagon on 9/11 was not actually hit by anything. Oh, look. Three posts down, there's a picture of Tel Aviv bombed out. Tall, bombed out apartment buildings in Tel Aviv. But wait, right beside it is somebody saying that's artificial intelligence. It's a doctored picture. You could sift through, we could just go through the entire thing of a lie, a potential lie. This person's saying this. Why? Are they being paid to say this? Do they have different motivations? This is not to dishearten you. This is to say that when we analyze information about anything, no matter what it is, wars, viruses, anything, we have to learn how to approach all information sources with a sober way of thinking. Now, I'm not talking about physically sober. Set your emotions aside. put down the video of the kid crying, stop and sift through the information. And we do have to work hard to find people we can trust, sources we can trust. I have to do this too, not just you. As big of an idiot goofball as I am, I've always been, I don't want to say nervous, but I've always worried about putting out bad information to you, because I know that you trust us here on the show. Well, I get your emails. I know that, and I love that. I've always been worried about putting information out that's bad, but I have to get my information from someplace too. It doesn't magically just get teleported into my head. I have started to actually block media contacts in my phone the second they give me bad information one time. Maybe you're nefarious. Maybe you were paid to lie to me. Maybe you're simply negligent. Maybe you just didn't look something up. But the truth is, you give me bad info, I can't take that to people. I can't take that to you. I can't and I won't do it. It's why I've told you to stress test things. That freedom lover you listen to or watch on TV or read, let me ask you, how much of a freedom lover were they when we just started hearing about COVID? How much of a freedom lover were they when they announced 15 days to slow the spread? What did that freedom lover who tells you about freedom all day long, what did they say when the government tried to lock you in your home for 2 weeks? Learn how to test these people. And test Relief Factor. I don't want you to take my word for it either. I don't want you to take Relief Factor's word. I know they have all these wonderful reviews and things like that. Relief Factor will take your pain away. I want you to try it. Maybe it won't work on you. 100% drug-free. It's a supplement you take every day. If you take Relief Factor for 3 weeks and your pain, whatever it is, if it's still the same, I don't want you to ever order it again. Do you think that's maybe worth a try, though? $19.95 for 3 weeks of it to see if it works? And they're not signing you up for some subscription. Call one time. You just never call again if you don't like it. 1-800-4-RELIEF, or you can go to relieffactor.com. As Reagan once said, trust but verify. With the news, with Relief, with Relief Factor, with everything. Trust but verify. All right?
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Anti-ICE protester's testicle is shattered by a rubber bullet in Los Angeles. Gosh, that's nuts. Teachers Union President Randy Weingarten resigns from the DNC. There is real trouble on the home front when communist John Denver is leaving the DNC. Nearly 1 million illegal immigrants have self-deported under Trump, which has led to higher wages. Oh, you mean the deportation of huge hordes of foreign slave labor has meant Americans can make a better wage in this country? Wow, who could have seen that coming? The economics of divorce. A new paper examines the harm to children. I'll spoil it for you. It's really bad for virtually everybody involved. Children, adults, everybody. Senator John Fetterman supports Trump's military parade, calls on Americans to celebrate regardless of politics. John Fetterman continues to want to get elected in the relatively purple state of Pennsylvania. We will be back tomorrow to do all this again. All right? That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.